Okay, so my name is Sandro Cumani and I am from the Polytechnical of Turin, and I will present you our paper whose title is Analysis of Large-Scale SVM Training Algorithms for Language Recognition. So this is the outline of our work, where I will start with an introduction, then I will spend a few words on support vector machine. Then I will discuss some algorithms for fast training of large-scale support vector machine. I will present the subset of our LRE models we trained in order to evaluate the algorithm performances. Then I will present our experimental results, and I will conclude with some notes on PushGMM system and the conclusion on the training result we had. So why SVM? Okay, as you can see here, SVM tend to appear in many different LRE system, also in SRE, but here we were focused on LRE system. Just to make some example, we have phonetic anagram-based system, GSV, SVN system, and PushGMMs. They are quite different, but they all share this step, which is SVM training and classification for phonetic and GSV SVM system. In pushing, it's actually used in a different way. However, they all need some sort of SVM training. So SVM, support vector machine, are linear classifier. The objective function can be cast as a regularized risk minimization problem, where the most used loss function is the hinge loss, which gives place to what is called the soft margin classifier. And the regularization term is given by the square of the norm of the hyperplane, which actually is related to the inverse of the margin. So we have a trade-off between the margin and the misclassification errors. Another formulation is given by the dual Lagrangian of the SVM problem, which is actually a constrained convex optimization problem. And this formulation is interesting because here we have the Gram matrix of dot products between training set pairs. And the fact that we can just work with dot products allows to extend the support vector machine to nonlinear classification by means of what is called the kernel trick, where we just map our features to a higher dimensional space by just evaluating dot products in the higher evaluation space without the need to actually perform any kind of projection. So why large-scale SVM? Well, actually, because we have many training partners for the LRE09, we have like 17,000, which maybe are not so many for pattern recognition system in general, but for our needs, there are many. And the dimension are actually very big because we can go from 40,000 for a 3-gram model with 35 phonetic units to more than 100,000 for a GMM system. So now we present different algorithms to train SVM in an efficient way. Most of these algorithms are actually linear, but just for linear kernels. But actually, the kernel we use are almost always linear, so this is not a problem. This is our baseline system, which is SVM Lite, is one of the first fast linear space solvers. It solves the dual problem in an iterative way and by decomposing the actual problem in smaller subsets. The problem with this algorithm is that it has a quadratic time behavior. It has a quadratic time behavior, and it can be sped up. We did some work to speed it up by caching kernel evaluation. However, it's still evaluating all dot products is also a quadratic problem, and the Gram matrix tends to grow, is quadratic in memory space. So we are interested in algorithms which are actually memory bounded, and possibly linear time algorithm. So the first one we analyzed was Pegasus, which is a primal iterative solver based on stochastic subgradient descent. Well, we here talk about subgradient because the loss function is not actually derivable everywhere, so we cannot just take the gradient, we have to consider the subgradient. And we have stochastic selection of learning samples, so we do not train every time the system on the whole database, but we just select randomly the training patterns. In order to improve convergence performances, we have a projection step on a ball of radius, the square root of the regularization term we have in the SVM problem formulation. And this actually helps the algorithm to reach convergence. So this problem, this algorithm does not directly provide the dual solution of the SVM problem. However, if we need it, as we might do if we want to implement push GMMs as MIT proposed, we can actually train them while we are training the hyperplane. So next, we have dual coordinate descent. This time we move to the dual space. And again, we have an iterative solver which performs coordinate descent in the dual space, actually. So we split our problem in a series of univariate optimizations where we keep all but one variable fixed and we optimize just that variable by some kind of gradient minimization. Here we just have to project the gradient in order to ensure that the SVM dual problem constraints are still met. So, okay, this time we do not have directly the primal solution, but actually it's very easy to update it while we are updating the dual solution. And this is nice also because in order to evaluate dot products, we do not have to store super vectors because we already have the hyperplane. So this algorithm can be actually sped up by performing a random permutation of the subproblems. That is, we just switch the order in which we optimize the variables. And also by introducing some sort of shrinking, which actually means we tend to not update the variables which have reached the bounds of the constraints of the SVM problem, because they will probably stay there. We just check this assumption is correct when we actually meet the convergence criterion. So next, we have cutting plane subspace pursuit, which was as introduced in SVM perf. This is based on a different formulation of the SVM problem, the so-called one-slack variable formulation. Here we optimize over the hyperplane and the slack variable, you can see it there. And this time we have a much greater set of constraints. So what is done here is that we iteratively build a working set of active constraints over which we solve the quadratic problem. And what's interesting in this algorithm is that the solution is not actually represented by using support vectors, but is represented by means of what they call basis vectors, which are essentially have the same role, but they are not actually taken from the training set itself. So what we obtain is that we have a much sparser representation because the number of basis vectors is much more limited with respect to the super vector, which actually tend to increase in number linearly with the training set size. However, the problem is that this time we cannot simply recover the dual solution of the SVM problem. What is nice actually is that since we have so few basis vectors, it is easy to extend this technique to nonlinear kernels. But actually, we didn't try it yet. So the final algorithm is BRMM. This is taken from a risk minimization framework, which, as I told you before, the SVM is a particular instance. So this time again, we build an incremental, built working set of approximate solution by taking tangent planes to the objective function and actually solving the minimization on the function approximated by means of tangent planes. So this time we still need to solve a quadratic problem, but the size of the quadratic problem is actually proportional, actually equal to the number of tangent planes we are using to approximate the function. And this is also equal to the number of iterations we're taking. So the size of this problem is much, much smaller than the size of the original problem, and usually can be neglected since we do not need more than 200 or something like that iterations. So again, this algorithm solves the primary formulation of the SVM problem, but the dual solution can be evaluated easily also this time. So now the LRE model we trained, are a small subset of the models we use for the LRE online evaluation. Okay, so the phonetic model is just a standard n-gram-based system when we perform phonetic decoding using an Italian tokenizer. Then we extract n-gram counts, we perform SVM training, and we adopt the TFLR kernel, which actually is a linear kernel, so we just perform some kind of training pattern normalization before feeding them to the SVM algorithm. Then the acoustic system is a standard 2048 Gaussian map adapted GMM using 56 parameters. We stack the Gaussian means to obtain super vectors, and we use the KL kernel, again just normalizing the patterns. So the system we actually trained is, we were interested in evaluating, was the GMM pushed system, where we use the SVM dual solution as the combination weights for the model and the anti-model. And so, scoring is performed by means of log likelihood ratio. So the evaluation condition, we tested it on the LRE09, which comprises 23 languages with narrow brain broadcast and telephone data. We test the systems on the 30-second, 10-second, and 3-second evaluation conditions. Training was performed using 17,000 more or less training sentences. The main difference between what we did this time and what we did in the LRE09 evaluation is that this time we trained channel independent system, while for the LRE09 we use channel dependent system. So all models are training in a one versus four paradigm. Class balancing is simulated for all systems, except for SVM perf, which do not actually allow for easy simulation of class balancing, which we perform by just playing with the C factor and the loss function. And in order to improve time performances, all models were trained together in order to just have to scan one, with just one scan of the database, we trained all the models. So here are the results for the phonetic system. Okay, this here is just the same system using the square hinge loss function. We tested it, but it did not prove to give any kind of useful results. Okay, so what you can see here is actually the results when all the systems have met tight convergence criterion. So we can see that all the system performs almost the same except for SVM perf, which is due to the lack of class balancing. So this is the same for the acoustic system. The results are almost the same. This time, here we do not have SVM perf because we do not have the alpha, the dual solution, you know, we need to train the push GMM system. So timing results, okay, here is the phonetic 30-second condition. What we can see is that actually the CDM performs very well. Here, SV Unlike, which is our baseline, is not shown because it took like more than 9,000 seconds to train it, so we are just showing the DCF result, but the time it took just was just too much to show it in the plot. And so what we can see is that actually all the algorithms improve performance with training time, but the most performing one is actually the dual coordinate descent, which allows us to train the SVM in more or less 200 seconds. So this is the same for the 10 system condition and the 3 system condition. Actually here we can observe that the generalization property of the SVM is actually as slightly better before we actually reach the convergence criterion. However, it's not so relevant. So now we get to the acoustic push GMM system. Okay, for the 30 seconds, there's nothing new with respect to the previous graphs. We also have the DCDM, which performs quite well. Well, there is just a small difference in terms of DCF between L2 system and L1 systems, but it's just very little. So for the 10-second condition, we start to see some interesting things. And actually, what we get here is that the 3-second condition, we obtain results which we did not expect. So here for push GMMs, what you can see is that actually the first part of the graph here represents using pushing weights which are far from the SVM optimum. So what we obtain is that actually using the SVM optimum is not optimal for at least for the 3-second condition for push GMMs. So we can see that here we have the first iteration of the BMRM algorithm, which actually is equivalent to perform pushing by simply taking the arithmetical mean of the true class samples and the false class samples without any need of SVM training. And actually, for the 3-second condition, this performs even better than using the alpha weighting. And, okay, here we have some other kinds of weighting, which is very far from the optimum. Actually, they have no understandable meaning, these weights. They're just a random iteration of the algorithm. However, they are very far from the optimal, but they are the best performing system for the 3-second condition. So here is what I said on push GMM system. We obtained good results even when the pushing weights are very far from the SVM optimum. Model and anti-model train just taking the arithmetic mean on the 3-second condition actually improves performances. And while SVM based pushing improves performance for the 30 seconds and slightly for the 10 seconds condition, for the 3 seconds condition it actually looked harmful. So now the conclusion on SVM algorithm. We train different algorithms. What we obtain is that actually the CDM is the fastest one and solves the dual problem. So if we are still interested in the dual solution, this is provided by this algorithm. However, this algorithm requires updates the SVM solution after each pattern, so it is not ready. It cannot directly be deployed in a distributor or cluster environment. So SVM Perf is the second fastest algorithm and can take advantage of a distributed environment since updates are performed just at the end of a complete database scan. And the scaling is good also for non-linear kernel. However, the dual solution is not provided and class balancing cannot be directly implemented in an easy way as it is possible with the other algorithms. Then BMRM is much slower than the other algorithms. However, we still have to see how much we can speed up by using distributed environments, since again this time solution update is performed by after a complete database scan. And also, what is interesting in this algorithm is that it's very easy to extend what we did to very different loss functions. And finally, there is Pegasus, which proved slower than the other algorithms, and moreover, it cannot exploit a distributed environment, so it's like it's the worst of the four. So this is all. If you have questions.
Okay, time for a few questions.
If I understand correctly, then some of your SVM optimizing algorithms along the way of finding the optimum found actually a better performing solution. So does it mean that actually the SVM approach, or the model, is not the right model, that we actually, for language recognition, should actually maybe have a different view of how to do the classification?
Actually, I think that the SVM problem, the optimal solution actually is trying to minimize the estimation estimating the generalization error of the SVM, because we're training it on the training set and it tries to estimate the generalization error but still using the training set. So when we actually deploy it, it happens often that the actual best generalization error is not obtained when we have reached tight convergent criterions, but when we impose less tight criterion for convergence, and we just stop some iteration before. Actually, for the CDMs, it means some iteration before, and for other algorithms, maybe it's just imposing slight less tighter conditions.
I'd just like to mention what we did to make our SVM training fast. It works for linear, maybe even for non-linear. Anyway, your the number of samples that you trained on was about 17,000, so your kernel matrix isn't that large, so it should fit into memory.
Yeah, well, actually it should, but we went from LRE05 where we have 5,000 to LRE09 where we have 17,000, so we don't know next what we'll have. So if we will have like 30,000, I don't know if it will just fit in memory. So. Yeah. Actually, SVM Lite was trained by evaluating the kernel matrix and storing it in memory. However, it did perform worse anyways.
I had a quick question. When you say class balancing, you mean giving equal total weight to the positive and the negative?
Yeah, well, actually, I mean, we try to simulate where the same number of true samples and false samples by playing with the scaling parameter of the loss function. That is, we just divide the true loss, the losses for the true patterns and the losses for the false patterns, and we just weight them differently.
Okay, let's thank the speaker again. And